Hey, y'all. Winning at Life. Life, Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk about money, growing it, keeping it, making better decisions.
Boy, I was just helping Gregory out with some financial advice right before the show was starting. I am giving him financial advice. And the fact that I have, at no cost, the NFL Sunday Ticket on DirecTV. AT&T just gave them out this year. Now, I don't know if they gave it to me this year because I've had it in the past and then I cut it off a few years ago. And so then they send me little offers every year. It's like, well, we'll give it to you for only $400 this year. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And so maybe they just gave it to me because I've had it in the past and they know I like it and they're trying to rope me back in. So it's like a promo deal. But I remember getting an email months ago saying, since we don't know what's going on with the NFL season and you can't go to the games anyway, we're just going to give it to you.
Oh, so, appreciate that. How nice of them.
So you might have it because you have a DirecTV account.
I do.
Got one of those little dish.
And I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, this game Kansas City is wanting to see some of that game, the afternoon game, and catch some of that. And I was like, I guess I'm going to have to sign up DirecTV. You know, I thought they just show the Super Bowl champ from last year gets put on TV every week, but no, they don't. And I don't know why not. It isn't like we're having to see the Patriots again. They don't even have a quarterback anymore, so it seems, as well. Isn't that a neat controversy? Cam thinks, he says, gosh, I might have lost the job.
Yeah, you think you... Go eat a steak, dude. You're a millionaire. You can eat all the food in the world. And you're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to eat meat anymore.
I don't know. I saw a few plays in the game when he was struggling. And there is this look. He doesn't have it anymore.
The legs? Because the brain still has to be there. It's not like he's going senile.
Yeah, but he knows the game. He knows what to do. But having it.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And it's a combination of putting in the extra effort, that desire, like just not that 110%, maybe that 90%, and that's enough to cost you your job being off 10 or 20%. I don't know. You don't quite have it. You know, it's where some quarterbacks can play for 20 years, as we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And some don't want to go 8 years or seven or five. What was the Colts had one retire. And look, Grant, hard game.
That was Andrew Luck, right?
Yeah, he was in pain all the time. So it wasn't that he lost that desire. He just was tired of hurting. There's a number of things. And I know Cam, and this isn't being mean to him. The guy, when he went and played in that Super Bowl, did lose it. But I'm like, this guy's ridiculous. He's going to be there a bunch of times. That's exactly what I thought about him on that season. He was just... Gosh, he's ridiculous. And he hadn't been the same since.
Well, you get an injury, and if it slows you down 3%, maybe 5%, that's all it takes to go from that super elite level of quarterback to that still amazingly awesome level of quarterback, but you're not one of the top 10, top 16 Super Bowl level.
And so this is a financial show, so I'm getting into the money part of football again. I was having a discussion yesterday with Emily, in fact, and she's into the fantasy football, and she was kind of like pumped about her numbers, but then she got upset about Zeke, and then I got into the kind of talk that we cover on the show to tell you, and we have a real easy clue to who's going to do well and who's not as a team, and it's called dead caps money. Whoever has the larger amounts of that are going to be the worst teams. It just always is that way. It's a clue, and you might want to look at that when you're also picking your players as well. It'd be an all that player, but if he doesn't have a cast of good players around him, he's not going to shine. And then getting into future dead cap money, the Cowboys guaranteed Zeke, which is her running back.
Ezekiel Elliott.
And he's just killing her on that part of the game. The Fumble Rooski is his middle name now. He's guaranteed what? That kind of $50 million? Would be based upon your FRA, full retirement age benefit, and If she waited to her FRA, she gets 100% of that 50%. If she takes it early, she gets a reduction. Another thing I'd like to share with you, Kirk, and then I'll let you ask another question, is no matter when you turn it on, you receive, and you live to age 80, you will receive the same amount of money overall. And we have to think about life expectancy, and we also have to think about, are you leaving behind the largest benefit? Because if you turn it on early and yours is the larger benefit, you've really cut back that leave behind benefit as well. Something to think about. Go ahead.
Right. Well, she would be the larger benefit, and she's a nurse, so she would work until we're 65 to keep the insurance. So.
Okay. And you're still working?
I'm not doing much. Not much here and there, but no, I'm not taking an income, no.
Okay,
so you're... I got some rental property that I take care of, but that's about it.
Okay, that's passive income in that case, most likely passive income in that case. So, yeah, you could elect... It could be justified to turn it on at 62 and start getting that check, and you're right, it's less. But if you lived age 80, it doesn't matter when you turn it on, you will have received the same amount. It's past 80... that's going to be significant.
Right, from 80 to 90 or something like that.
Yeah, because if you've turned it on early, you've reduced what you're going to get past then compared to if you had taken it later and continued to receive a larger benefit. But Social Security is designed for every situation to balance out at about age 80.
Does every year, like if I waited until 63 would be a little more, 64 would be a more, or is it?
Yeah, each month that you wait increases your benefit. We annualize it, but it's based on monthly deferral.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Awesome, Kirk. Great call.
All right. Now that we're back live, Gregory, quick observation for Kirk's call is the guys that go out and crunch the number on, well, you know, if I turn on Social Security early and I get all these checks, I know it'll be smaller, but I won't make that money back up until I'm like 80 years old. Never are they calling in using that as an excuse to defer. They're always just trying to find a reason to get that check now. I know it's going to be smaller, but I want it now.
You know, I always kind of use that phrase, you know, where rubber meets the road. Okay. If you need that money, and this is a lot of reason, this is huge. In regard the reasoning for most to turn it on early, and we've had that percentage dropping a little bit every year, but it's essentially, we'll just simplify and call it 50% of the people turn it on at 62. And which tells me, in his case, he doesn't have to turn it on. He doesn't need to now. He's just trying to find a reason why. Well, it takes me 10 years to make it up. Is that a good enough reason to turn it on now? And where it really comes to turning on now is, okay, my pension, I don't have any 401k and Social Security at 62. Okay, I can get by each month. That's why you're turning it on, because you have to. If you don't have to, why are you turning it on? What, if you're still working, why are you turning it on? And then you should look at maybe how to bridge it. But if it makes your world work, in fact, that's important. But once again, when we look at, if you turn it on at any point and you take somebody else your age and they wait and turn it on at FRA and somebody turns it on at 62, everybody in the same scenario age-wise, and you look at it at age 80, but they all kind of turned it on at different points, they're all going to be about the same at age 80. Or if they turn it on 62, 64, 65, 67, and 70, get out to age 80, they're going to have about taken the same amount. But who's going to get it more beyond then is the ones that deferred and live longer are going to really max out in that system. And that's what you have to think about. And you have to think about what, and if you're a couple, what are you leaving behind? And it might be you should defer or she should defer, whoever has the largest check. And think about it. And it doesn't always mean to wait to 70. And it doesn't mean that both of you wait to FRA to turn it on. there, but you need to look at those scenarios.
All right, here's the other one where we absolutely are nailing some of the basics of Social Security. How does all this affect your spouse? Russell and Homa, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Russell?
Okay, well, the question was, an elderly couple decide they want to get married. And they get married, and they're together for about 3, 4, 5 years, and the husband passes away. Is the woman entitled to any part of his Social Security?
She has, they're both married, they're both drawing Social Security. Is that correct on the question?
No. One is drawing Social Security and the lady's not.
Okay. What's his age?
75.
And what's her age?
Her age, she's 59.
Okay. Well, what she's eligible for is survive. If he dies, she's eligible, and they've been married more than 9 months. 9 months is the deal. For a couple. So he dies, she's eligible for survivor benefits, and she could turn on survivor benefits as early as age 60. She gets a reduction because it's prior to her full retirement age, but she's eligible for survivor benefits as early as age 60. If she's disabled, it's early as age 50. And I believe she would be eligible to turn on about 72, I'm real close here, 72% of his benefits at age 60 or earlier if it's for a disability.
Okay, so she'd have to go to Social Security to find out exactly what it would be.
Well, she's going to get roughly about 72% of the check. The question you asked was, she eligible to receive his benefits? She is eligible to receive 100% of the survivor benefit. The 100% is at her FRA. There's a haircut if she turns it on before her full retirement age.
I got you. Oh, that answered my question, sir.
Awesome. So her FRA essentially is...
full retirement age?
Yeah, her full retirement age is age 67 for her.
On Saturday's show, Dwayne Stein of MortgageGumbo.com was our guest. And he doesn't just deal with mortgages when you're buying a house or when you're refinancing a house or when you got to add in a room and you're remodeling or new construction. The loans, yeah. He also knows a lot about credit scores. And so a couple of callers were trying to tap his mind on how ways they could get their credit scores up or finagle the system for their kids. And I'm going to play these two calls right back to back. And it gets a little weird real quick. Chantal in Metairie, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, talking to Gregory, James, and Dwayne. How can we help you?
Hi, yes. I added my infant son onto my credit, and he's an authorized signer on a credit card so that I can build him some credit for when he turns 18. And I was wondering if I should actually lock his credit so that it just is a little bit safer and he has a little more security in case anything happens.
Yeah, I mean, doing that is cool. So you put him as an authorized user, but keep this in mind. How old is he?
He's 2.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to be rolling out, getting some gas or going get some, blow pops on his credit card, on your credit card, right? So make sure that you are protecting yours because he's only the authorized user, right? So he's not taking it over to the little corner lemonade stand. I think what you're doing is cool. There's no doubt, but let's make sure that your credit is locked up, right? Let's make sure that yours, because if something happens to yours, guess who that's going to affect? His.
Yeah.
So make sure yours is locked up, much more important than his, because in reality, he's not out there spending any of that stuff. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You doing that for him today, it's not really going to make that big of a difference. Because the next 18 years that you're paying your bill, great. If you put him on that when he turns 18, he's going to benefit from that just as much. Okay. So you don't have to necessarily be doing that for him right now. And we don't know what the future holds. So the last thing, and look, we hope nothing goes wrong, right, ma'am? But hey, if something does go wrong, if something changes in your world, do we want him to start behind the eight ball at 18 because he was an authorized user on your credit and something went bad down the road? Probably not. So just be careful there. Okay. Just be careful. I love what you're doing, but let's not put the cart too far ahead of the horse. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff, though. Hey, love that you're thinking ahead. You're welcome.
Thank you for the call, Chantel. I'm glad you added that on, Dwayne, because I was thinking all of a sudden everybody's going to like, oh, I got to go get my kids on my credit. And actually, that has never occurred to me, like, from a youth standpoint. But you also pointed out this, because you don't know what's going to happen. This also could go the wrong way. And yes. I have this like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Because when you talk about putting somebody on their credit to improve their credit, that person that's, and let's say you're wanting to improve your credit. So you go to your parents, hey, can you add me on to your credit or card so it can help me out? But you got to have some faith there, dude. That, yeah. So, because you're exposing yourself by helping this person out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where if you're going to give somebody, we have talked about Gregory on the show umpteen times. The other thing we've discussed is never, ever co-sign, ever.
That's where I land
I know you love them. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week where I want to help my son buy a house. He can't afford it, you know, so I'm going to help him out. Okay, he can't afford it. It's not time for him to buy a house. Unless you're buying another house for him, great. But what we're talking about there is, yes, you are right. Now,
I've seen that happen, Dwayne, where they go to help him, and now they've got two houses.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And, you know, so when you're looking at the authorization, number one, you can authorize them, but don't give them that card. Heck, don't even give them the number.
Christy in River Ridge, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Christy?
Hi. My question was, does that also, if something happens to the person who has the credit card, are you responsible for the debt?
Are you
get added as an additional user?
Yes.
Something happens and you...
Exactly what we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. You just nailed it, Christy. Yeah. So if you allow somebody to you go, hey, Dwayne, look, I'll let you take advantage of my awesome credit. You're now authorized user and you give me access to that. And I go start running up the credit card, running it up. And I might not be not paying the bill, but let's say you were keeping it at $100 every month that you just go buy some groceries and pay it off every month. When now all of a sudden I go buy the new PlayStation 5. And now your credit's up your $1,000 utilization. I'm at $999 on it. And that, yes, Christy, that is going to affect your score. That's why you got to be careful with that.
Well, actually, that really wasn't my question. I'm sorry. I can't hear very well. I'm in my car. But my question was, if your parents allow you to get on the card and your parents pass away, and are you responsible for the debt on that credit card?
No. You're an authorized user.
Because you're an authorized user. No?
No.
Okay.
You are an authorized user, you're not responsible for that. So that is something that you would. Now, if you're proven to be using the card, that is different. If you're just an authorized user for credit purposes, no, you won't be held accountable there. No.
Yeah. Great. Two different things, but the same problem is there. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, Christy. The other thing to piggyback off of that, thank you, Christy. The other thing I want to piggyback off of that is this, because people go, all right, well, hey, I'll just go ask mom or dad or uncle or brother and sister to make me an authorized user. And they go, sure, not a problem. It's like that neighbor when you're talking to them and everybody got a 0.5% on their mortgage. It's a weird conversation. Hey, can I use your credit? Sure. All right. Hey, can you kind of give me an idea of what your utilization and what your payment history is first? Like, you got to almost interview, because I've seen people come back to me and go, hey, all right, I went and got authorized on credit and the people are past due and their score drops by 100 points.
On this.
Authorized user
versus usage. That's two different things. And And this is almost for somebody to do this, Dwayne, from what I'm picking up. Y'all need to vet each other really well. No surprise. And is within family, is that honesty going to be there? This is thin ice, the way I see it. And that doesn't mean hand them a credit card to go use because they're added on as an authorized user. Give me your thought real quick so we can get to this other soundbite.
If you're helping them and assisting them to boost their credit, let them be an authorized user, but do not share your credit card or the ability for them to use that card. Just let it be for reporting purposes so we can improve their score. That's it.
What okay. happens to the usage stuff then?
Well, if they use it, whoever's using it, it's going to get that score. But we got to assume if I'm using James's credit, he's shown enough ability to manage his credit correctly where I'm going to benefit from that.
All right. Boy, Dwayne's a great guest, Sydney. We're back live now. I was just thinking, though, if this does catch on, this sort of trend line catch on, I can see there being sort of a marketplace opportunity for something akin to like the Fisher Price My First Credit Card, right? My First Revolving Debt.
Yeah.
It's like the easy bake oven. There's the debt consolidation loan fantasy you can play with. All right. The Ask Gregory podcast has some new episodes up. Are you aware of these? So go check it out. There's more. There's like 33. We have two more that should be up by the end of the week. And we cover some of these topics that you heard on today's show. In fact, we have a few on Social Security. But listen, I just want to throw this out there for you, Gregory, and for the guy listening. If there's a topic that you're looking for, and when you go to the Ask Gregory podcast, it's not there, let me know. I'll take requests. I have to make new episodes anyway. I'm trying to make a couple a week. And if there's something you want me to go pick out, there's a good chance we've done it on the show. There's a good chance I've already isolated it and saved it into a little side file there. Just let me know what you're looking for, and we will cater this thing to you. Anything?
Yeah, just the layoffs, oil industry related, hearing a good bit about that and some fresh go-rounds on that. And if you have got notice that you're on the list to be your job eliminated, or you've been laid off, or there's shutdowns, cutbacks, and you're no longer there or no longer going to be there, what do you do with that 401k? Five things to do with your old 401k, gregoryricks.com/401k.
All right, that sounds good. I tell you, here's what I already got brewing for tomorrow's show. If we can whet your appetite a little bit. What's the difference between a Roth 401k and the traditional 401k? And if you are offered both at work, how do you know how much to put into each of them?
That's a great topic. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
I have a feeling we've done that before, but we'll do it different tomorrow. And we'll do it with 10 years more experience in presenting this to you. So it'll be better than you've ever heard it. In the meantime, if you need the help of a financial advisor, something more than just a radio show, start your search with Gregory Ricks & Associates. My buddy across the table, that's his day job. Got his own firm and everything. Go to gregoryricks.com or the office number directly, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.